on radio, streaming live on investtalk.com, and for our podcast subscribers. This is InvestTalk, above average investing for the average investor. InvestTalk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. And now, here's KPP Financial President, Portfolio Manager Steve Peasley.
You're listening to an encore presentation of InvestTalk. Please call with your questions and comments, though, 888-99-CHART, 888-99-CHART, and Steve will answer them on the next InvestTalk.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to InvestTalk. We're here to talk about investing, of course. But beyond that, we'd like to talk about all the other money management, money issues in your life. You know, because it's complex and there's a lot of them. The first step is, to, of course, to create a realistic retirement budget. No one knows for sure how much retirement is going to cost you, but you certainly can make a pretty good darn guess. Okay, and you can plan for that guess. So that's what we pay a lot of attention to. Keeping an eye on and preserving capital and growing it, make sure it lasts long enough for you to live comfortably in retirement. And there are decisions to make about Social Security as well. Social Security. I've been reading a book. I think I mentioned a couple times on the air. It is a very interesting, and I will only mention one thing: spousal benefits. If you're married, there's spousal benefits that you might be able to take advantage of that you don't even know about. So we can talk about taxes if you like to. We just finished tax time, as we know, and it is, when you come to investing, you always try to minimize your tax bite at the end of the year. And so we need to take a full advantage of any retirement tax shelters that you have, 401ks, IRAs, and also, make sure you manage your portfolio in the method that will maximize your postponements or write-offs, or whatever you want to call it. Anyways, but in retirement, you need to generate monthly income as well. Need to generate that monthly income. You need to replace that paycheck. And, of course, there's estate planning issues. We talked about those. It's on and on and on. I wish it was simple. It's just not. And don't forget about health care in retirement. Don't think Medicare is going to pay for everything. It's not. So it just gets complex. Anyways, let's turn to the questions you want me to answer. You can call our 24-hour listener line anytime you want. We're live Monday through Friday, 4 to 5 Pacific time. 888-99-CHART is how to reach us, and you can do it anytime you want. Now let's go to Michael and Glendora.
I want to ask you, how important is book value?
Book value is pretty darn important. If you go to the Bible of value investing called The Intelligent Investor by Benjamin Graham, it's in paperback right now, is written in the 30s and 40s and republished many times. Benjamin Graham, which is the grandfather of value investing, says that you should never buy a stock that's over book value. Now, it's almost impossible to find one in this day and age. But in his time, book value was the way you evaluated stocks. You wanted to buy a stock that was less than book value. And for everybody else, book value means if you took all the assets, took all the liabilities of a company, you paid off all the liabilities and you had what was left, that's book value. And you want it to be below one. Therefore, you would still get money for your stock.
Right.
Okay? In a very simplistic terms, that's what that means. Right now, we don't like to see too many multiples time book value.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, remember, we love beginner questions, so we welcome your question at 888-99-CHART. Now, what is the question?
Steve, I got a question for an income portfolio,
okay.
Part of it. Preferred stocks.
Yes.
You get them for 5.5%, 6.5%.
Yeah.
What do you think? What's your idea?
I like it. If you're looking for income, everybody, that's what George said. He's talking about an income portfolio. He's looking for income coming into his portfolio. You can buy some really good stocks, preferred stocks, really good companies, and buy their preferred. And a preferred stock, in case you're not aware of it, you have the common shares and the preferred shares. Not every company has preferreds. Preferreds are stocks that act like bonds, okay? They pay a dividend yield. So your preferred, your yield is pretty safe. Now, There are different kinds of preferreds, George, and you probably know that. Convertible preferreds, you probably, I don't know if you've gotten those. That's when they can convert to a common stock if they go to a certain price. What happens, everybody, is George is going to collect his 5, 6, 7%, whatever the yield is, on the preferred stock. And if the stock value goes up on that preferred, he may also get capital gains. It does not, though, go up like the common stock. It doesn't go up in lockstep, no. Or down in lockstep, for that matter. They're more stable, I would say. George, I kind of like the idea, as long as you buy an underlying company that's very strong.
That's what I'm looking for.
Okay, George.
Thank you.
Thank you for the call.
Here are the directions for reaching Steve this afternoon with your question. Just call 888-99-CHART, C-H-A-R-T. Have a question about how best to get into the market? Or maybe you're feeling unsure about your current investments. That's what this is all about. This is InvestTalk.
Alex in San Diego, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing great.
Thank you for taking my call.
Well, you know what? I love it when you call, so it's you. I just answer the questions.
Well, my question is, I'm just breaking into the stock market, and I'm looking for something to be able to read about it, and where would be a good place to go get information?
Okay, great, 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 great. Okay, there's several places I'm going to talk about first, and of course, I hope you like reading.
I do.
Okay, good. For a good resource, in other words, you're come across something, I wonder what that means, go to investopedia.com, investopedia, investopedia.com.
Okay.
Investopedia, that's a great place. You can type in terms and stuff and find out, and they have lessons from beginner to advanced. It's a pretty good website for that. And I have no tie to that website, but I use it, yeah, because I like it. If you're just getting started, I would suggest you read the book. It's a very easy book to read, Beating the Street by Peter Lynch. It's been out for a number of years. Peter Lynch is one of the best investors out there. He's a mutual fund guy for Vanguard for years and years. He retired. It's very easy to read. It gives you a nice overview. It's only a couple of 100 pages, and you're done, and you have a good idea how stocks work. What makes it go up? What makes it go down? When you get more advanced, I have a lot more advanced books to give you. But if you're just starting out, reading a couple of Peter Lynch's books are good. There's others that are very, very good. Another book that's not in print that I really liked and enjoyed years ago was a book called A Thousand Miles from Wall Street by Tony Gray. I don't know if that's around. You probably get it at a library, but I don't know if you can get it in print anymore. But if you can, I would suggest that. Now, there's a book list on our website, so when you get those under your belt, you just move on to more and more books.
Okay, and then investopedia.com, that would be the place to go on the web.
Yeah, for learning about investing, yes.
Okay, very good.
It's a really good site, really. Take a look at it. If you don't like it, I'll give you some more.
Okay.
Thanks, Alex.
Okay, thank you.
888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Time to invest in Mexico, you think? Is it? I think we ought to talk about Mexico and whether you should be buying stocks in Mexico. It's going to be one of our talking points, our main talking points today. U.S. trade deficit numbers soared, the highest since 2008. What does that mean for our economy? Means something, I'll tell you that. First quarter earnings for the S&P 500. If you remember right, everybody, including myself, thought they'd be pretty weak. Well, what is the real truth? Are they weak? 397 companies of the S&P 500 have reported, and so that's the bulk of them. So we're going to talk about those. And finally, did you see the ISM, Institute Supply Management, number for non-manufacturing that came out today? Big surprise there. So we had a big surprise on the trade deficit, a big surprise on the ISM numbers, and I want to talk about two separate things, tell them separately today. Kind of important. What they mean for our economy. And why do I care what it means for our economy? Because our economy is the stock market runs on earnings. And earnings, and that's what our second thing is going to be about today, isn't it? Economy and earnings is what I'm talking about today. And why? Because stocks go up if earnings go up. So if they, meaning the investors and traders, think earnings are going to go up in the future, stocks will go up. 888-99-CHART is our number. I'd love to talk to you. Give me a call, 888-992-4278. I'm Steve Peasley. It's time to, if you want to meet with me, it's time to secure a time. Go to investtalk.com, investtalk.com, that's with two T's, and click on make an appointment.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Invest Talk. Please call with your questions and comments, though, 888-99-CHART, 888-99-CHART, and Steve will answer them on the next Invest Talk.
888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. So, should we be investing in Mexico, an ETF, Mexico, ETF, EWW is the ETF, Mexican ETF I'm talking about. It's the largest ETF tracking Latin America's second largest economy, Brazil's first, and it's EWW. And now, I will say this, it hasn't done very well. It's down from last year, down 8% last year, and this year is pretty much flat, even down a little bit this year still. So it hasn't done anything. So you're probably wondering, well, why am I recommending it? Well, it's Mexico. Its largest, 80% of their exports come here to the United States. So do you think the United States economy is going to rebound this year? I mean, if you feel that, because you really only want to invest in Mexico, and as far as that is concerned, Canada, is if the economy in the United States is doing well. And what is Mexico's biggest industry? It's oil. Oil industry. So do you think oil has bottomed? It's going to come back? So fundamentally, I'm looking at Mexico and saying, you know, if America does well, they will do well. But fundamentally, at the same time, Mexico's stock market is not cheap. It's not super expensive, but it's not cheap in historical terms. So are we a bit too early? And then I look at a chart, and I see that the EWW has been moving slightly upwards. A lot of up and down movement since December, but on a little higher highs, a little higher lows, but mainly moving sideways. At some point, it's going to move up, and I think it's going to move up if the economy in the United States picks up this year. So, you know, maybe this might not be a great time to buy it right this minute, but it certainly is a good time to be looking at Mexico. If you believe in the oil story, which is their, and their export story to us, the United States. If you don't believe in that, if you think oil is going to be really still very, very low and you feel like our economy is going to not rebound at all, then you stay away from Mexico. Mexico and the United States are attached at the hip as far as the economics are concerned. So that's EWW is a symbol for Mexico, in case you were wondering. EWZ is Brazil. I mean, I know a bunch of them. Where do you want to be? What part of the world? In our recent conference, we talked about emerging markets, and that might be Asian emerging markets looks like the best fundamentally value area with the best growth prospects. Now, if you also remember, Mexico, they export to us, so their peso has gone down and been considered in relationship to our dollar, so that helps them. Helps them. So it helps all exporters to the United States. It hurts us because our exports cost a lot more to them. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Time to give us a call. Whatever's on your mind, we'll talk about it. We had just a couple economic news out today, nothing major. But the two pieces that we're going to talk about, I think, were impactful. So we're going to discuss those sometime during this hour, hopefully. And then we had the first quarter earnings that were out. They're almost all the companies have been reported so far. And what do you think the news is? Bad, good, indifferent? We're going to talk about that as well. Are you more of a risk taker or someone who feels more comfortable with a little risk cushion? Take our risk test. It's a couple of minute quiz with just a few questions for you to answer about how much risk and reward that you like. It's free. It's called a risk analysis tool there right on investtalk.com. You can't miss it. Investtalk.com, risk analysis tool. Use your phone. If you'd like to talk to me, you can do it right now, 888-99-CHART.
Our podcast distribution is made possible each day by KPP Financial, Steve Peasley, President. And you should know about our next live webinar. This is a one-hour session about global investing. Steve and Justin see this as a solution to an overpriced domestic market if you do it right. Join them for the discussion June 4th, 6:30 p.m. Pacific Time. There'll be plenty of time, too, for your questions. It's free, but you do need to sign up. You can do that now on investtalk.com. You're listening to an encore presentation of Invest Talk. Please call with your questions and comments, though, 888-99-CHART, 888-99-CHART, and Steve will answer them on the next Invest Talk.
888-992-4278. We're going to talk to a man in San Jose who wants to be known as Pancho. How are you doing, Pancho?
Hi there. My question is very simple.
Sure.
I listened to an hour presentation from the Harry Dent and I guess David Stockman, the Ford budget director, echoing what you said a little while ago on the radio about things being going along so smoothly, there's bound to be some turndown. But they want to charge me $79 for their sundown action pack to tell me what to do, and they say it's not real estate, it's not stocks, it's not gold, it's not, so what's that left, cash? And if they are printing money like mad, well then cash ain't worth it. So my question is, where in the hell am I going to go?
Isn't that the problem? Good old Harry Dent, you know, he writes books, he writes a lot of books, and he tells you how the big boom is coming or the big crash is coming. It's always one or the other with him. It's never, you know, what more realistic numbers. But where do you run to? Well, you don't really run to anything. You know, long-term, the stock market is a place to be, as we all know. But there's periods like we've been since 2009 where the market just runs up and up and up and up and up, sideways or up, okay? And we're due for a correction. We know there's going to be one. That's not even an issue. So how do you protect yourself? Well, he says don't run to gold. Gold is kind of an anti-market hedge. It's more of a hedge against disaster. You know, people run to gold. It's not my favorite thing, but I have a few gold positions. What you do, Pancho, is you just make sure you're in different asset classes. And if you're really worried, produce some cash. And I know you won't make any money on cash, but produce some cash. And when the market does fall, put it back to work. That's the best advice you can get. You know, our income program is 50% bonds that we hold to maturity, and the other 50% in high dividend paying, big blue chip stocks. Over long periods, that works pretty darn steady for someone who doesn't want to take too much stock risk and still wants to make money. You know, bonds pay, you know, high quality corporate bonds pay, you know, for 3 to 7%, you know, depending how long far you go out. But we don't go out too far in ours because I think interest rates are going to rise. So, you know, we in our recent conference, we said, you know, valuations look a lot better in Asia than they do in the United States right now. But a lot of people are scared of Asia because you have the dot currency translations. So I'll tell you, Pancho, there's very few places to hide. Very few places. People used to be able to hide in treasuries and CDs, and you make decent money. You don't anymore. Just can't. So I still think the best place is to be in the market, but you got to manage the risk that you're taking in the market. Pancho, appreciate the call. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
One of the ways we serve our listeners is individual portfolio checkups. Steve meets with a limited number of listeners at KPP offices in Northern and Southern California. And if you're a podcast listener and you don't live in those areas, there are ways you can avail yourself of this service too. Just call 888-99-CHART and find out more about it.
John in San Diego. How are you doing, John?
Oh, I'm doing fine. I've got a small dilemma that's turning into a huge one.
Uh-oh.
I'm 57 years old. My hopes for retirement are somewhat daunted by the fact that I started saving too late.
Okay.
So I'm not destitute, but at the same time, I don't think I'm going to be able to generate the kind of income that I need for retirement. Mm-hmm. So my play, if you will, is do I take what little I have, not be so conservative to try to generate the kind of income that would help me, or I just not retire.
And you're 57?
I'm 57.
How's your health?
I guess I'll say fair.
Well, John, I'm going to have to tell you, you're going to have to keep working.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all there is to it. 57, probably we're not going to touch that IRA till about 65. That would be my suggestion. Mm-hmm. I would be fairly aggressive with it because you kind of need to. You are taking risks doing that, but you're going to kind of have to because you're going to have to keep working anyways.
You know, I'm a teacher. I've got some STIRS money, but I'm not going to live long enough, if you will, in order to, you know, accumulate the amount of years that it takes to really get a good income out of it.
Yeah, because they do have great retirement benefits.
Yeah, they do, but, you know, it starts getting great at about 28 years.
Exactly.
And we're far from there.
I kind of think you need to be aggressive. You really need to sit down with somebody, financial planner or some, or myself, I don't care, and just to take a look at your whole picture. It sounds morbid, but do you have any prospects of inheriting any money?
Well, probably not.
Okay.
My only thought is that maybe, you know, my house, you know, at the end there, we, you know, do some kind of,
reverse mortgage.
Exactly.
Uh-huh. That's a thought. See, that's what the kind of questions you need to sit down with somebody. And we do that, too. We're registered investment advisor. We're not financial planners, but we do that. We ask those kinds of questions and give you different alternatives and tell you what you can do. And that's what a good financial planner would do. But I don't want you to pay the money to have that done.
Well, you know, that's part of the problem. It's just, quite honestly, not knowing what resources are available. Since I don't have a lot of money to begin with, you know, I need to probably start to someone who, you know, who is either very gracious and has more time on their hands to just give me a handout, or to, you know, that wouldn't charge so much.
John, if you call me at the office, I'll be happy to talk about some of these details with you.
Okay.
And I'll get more information from you so I can get a better picture of your overall situation. And then
right. We'll
come up with some alternatives that I know about. I'm not an expert. I don't pretend to be, but I do know a lot about it because I talk about it all the time and to all kinds of people.
Well, so, that would be wonderful. Thank you.
Thanks, John. Appreciate the call. Getting married. Congratulations. Your taxes are going to get better or worse. Depends. That's coming up on Invest Talk Personal. 888-99-CHARGE.
Listening to an encore presentation of Invest Talk. Please call with your questions and comments, though, 888-99-CHART, 888-99-CHART, and Steve will answer them on the next Invest Talk.
Let's go to Art in Menlo Park. How you doing, Art?
Hi, Steve. I just wanted to just try to get a little feedback on my retirement.
Sure.
Right now, I'm looking at within the next 5 years or so leaving the company.
Okay.
And right now, we're in Vanguard, and I got, like, bulk of my funds in PrimeCap. That's
yes.
about half.
Right.
And I'm kind of, like, divert more into, like, Wellington.
Yes.
And into the money market right now.
Okay.
And I was actually just wondering, like, if the market goes up, you know, the 14 or 14.5 area,
yes.
I was wondering what you felt like if I were to, like, divest some of the PrimeCap into either Wellington or money market.
Well, money market is just money market. It's, you're going to make 3% or so. That's it.
Right.
The two, Wellington and the Prime Cap, are stock accounts, equity mutual funds. So they're
right.
tied to the stock market. And you're saying you're going to retire and shortly?
Within the next 5 years or so.
Okay. Well, 5 years is a long time. I would probably exit the money market for the time being.
Uh-huh.
If you've got 5 years, I'd exit that money market, move it into the Prime Cap or the Wellington.
Oh, okay. Because actually I was just trying to figure out what would be the safer of the... You know,
the safest of those three is the money market. That's the safest.
Uh-huh.
But you're not going to get much return either.
Right.
You know, you're presented to me, Art, that maybe 5 years.
Yeah.
5 years is a goodly amount of time. And I think
uh-huh.
in 5 years, the stock market's going to be higher than it is now, a lot higher. If that's all you have, I would probably be fully invested and then maybe in 2 or 3 years start to get more conservative and more conservative, more conservative, until you get not so exposed to the market.
Yeah, because basically that's what I was trying to figure out here, you know, my exposure in the market as far as being in and if we had another downturn type of a thing.
Art, I'll tell you this. The chances of us having a market like we had in 2000, 2001, 2003 are extremely slim, very rare. That's probably not going to happen. You never can say it won't happen. Anybody uh-huh. say it could, but you don't see that once in a generation or so.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so we've already had it, that big downturn, so the chances are good that we're not going to have it again. And I do think that the whole world is growing very strong, and that is going to make stock prices go up.
Okay.
I would be more comfortable with the risk. If I had 5 years, I'd be comfortable with risk.
As far as the diversification goes,
yes.
Right now I'm probably about, like I say, about half in prime cap. Would you divert any of that into like Wellington to like kind of like even them out?
Well, what you need to do is look at, if you look at the holdings of both those companies, both those mutual funds, those are mutual funds at Vanguard, everybody.
Right.
That's what we're talking about. I think you'll find a lot of overlap. In other words, one company owns a lot of the same, both of them own a lot of the same stocks.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, I would check out that. Go to Morningstar.com and just check the top 10 holdings of both companies and see how much overlap. I think you'll find there's a lot, and therefore there doesn't really make a lot of difference which way you go.
Oh, okay. Are the funds basically like the same size as far as?
They're both very large.
Oh, okay. So the downside is like mitigated a little bit.
Well, almost own the whole stock market. So if you think the stock market's going to go up, probably both those will go up. The stock market's going to go down, both those will go down.
And lastly, as far as I've got like only about 5% in the Index 500. I was actually thinking about divesting that and putting it into the either the prime cap or Wellington.
Well, what I would do before you did that, Art, is compare the performance of the S&P 500 the last, 3 years, 5 years, with those others two, and see which one's been outperforming.
Oh, okay.
And I'd go with the one that's outperforming.
Right now, you'd say that as far as the money market goes, you'd probably put some of those funds back into the market then?
Yes, I would. I would start putting them back in the market. I wouldn't do it all at one time, but I'd do it over the next few months, yes.
Oh, okay.
Thanks, Art.
Okay.
Appreciate the
call.
Thanks a lot. 888-99-CHART. Today, the U.S. trade deficit was reported for March, and it soared. We're not talking about a little bit. The highest since 2008, up 43% in March, trade deficit. Why? Well, do you remember that work stoppage on the West Coast by the longshoremen? It's not maybe not stoppage, we'll call it work slowdown. Well, they caught up. You know, with all those ships and everything on offshore, they caught up with the last couple of months, and this is why you had the big, huge trade deficit. And at the same time, the dollar got very strong. So even our imports went up 7.7%, and our exports went up only 0.9%. Still exporting more than we did, but a lot less than we imported, and the growth of our exports have slowed way down. So remember, we're a pretty big export country. I think we're the second largest in the world exporter. Did you know that? I think China's number one. I think we're number two. So we're a huge exporter, but of course we're a huge importer as well. So what does this mean? You remember that GDP number, gross domestic product number for the first quarter was up 0.2%, very, very little. What this probably means is that the first quarter is going to be revised to negative. We're going to have shrinkage of our GDP the first quarter of this year. That's what this probably means. Remember, when they first come out with every quarter with the initial look at the GDP numbers, that gets revised two more times after the first look. So within 30 days, we'll see a revision. And it'll most likely be a shrinkage. Remember first quarter last year, it was a shrinkage of like 2.4%? Was that what the number was? Something like that? Sure, it looks like this year sure looks like a repeat of last year. Even the stock market, if you're looking at the index, the S&P 500, compare the S&P 500 movement between, I think about January to May last year. Look at it from January to May this year. Very, very similar. Kind of scary it's all similar. Tina in Oakley. How you doing, Tina?
I'm doing great, thanks.
Thanks for calling.
I had a question about life insurance.
Sure.
Whether to invest in term life insurance versus universal life insurance.
That's easy. Term life insurance. This is what you do, Tina. believe me, the guy who's selling it to you is going to try to talk you into universal life.
Right.
Because he's going to tell you what a great investment it is. He's going to tell you that you can make lots of money and that you never lose money. And plus you have the insurance part. What a great thing. You know what it's a great thing for? It's a great thing for him because he makes a ton of commission on those things.
Oh.
It's not a great thing for you. If you took the same amount of money, let's say you buy term. Term is much cheaper, right?
Right.
If you took the difference between the premium on the term and the premium on a whole life or universal life, if you took that difference, in other words, that amount of money you would pay if you bought that old whole life policy and invest it in anything, a mutual fund, dollar cost average in any mid-cap mutual fund, you would make a lot more money, than the insurance vehicle could make over the next 10 years. You would. That is the smart thing to do, Tina.
Thanks so much.
Thank you. Appreciate the call. And how can I say that with all the certainty in the world? Because I used to work for insurance companies.
Annuities, asset allocation, reading stock market trends, building a truly balanced portfolio. If it's important to you and you want to know more about it, we're here for you. 888-99-CHART.
It's time for InvestTalk Personal, personal finance issues that can impact your life. Your taxes are very likely to change once you get married. I hope you know that. And whether it goes up or down, it all depends on several factors. Among them, your incomes for both of you. Does one of you make a lot more than the other? Then, of course, there's children. You're going to have children. They're write-offs. You get some benefits for having children, deductions. Okay, and this all makes a big difference in your taxes. The Tax Foundation estimates that couples can pay a marriage penalty as high as 12%, 12% of their income, or they could get a marriage bonus, saving them about 20% on their income taxes. So you get penalized by 12 or get a savings of 20%. 12% penalization or 20% benefit. They gave a couple scenarios, which is really helpful. Let's say you had no children, just got married, but one of you makes maybe $25,000 a year and the other makes $50,000 a year. Remember, you don't have any kids, your federal income tax burden would go down $225 if you got married in 2015. If you got married and combined your taxes, joint filing, you would save $225. Same scenario, husband, wife, no kids. Let's say the whole couple bring in the same amount each, and it's a lot. Let's say $300,000 total, $150,000 each. Well, guess what? You get married, you're going to pay an extra $3,807. If you didn't get married, you wouldn't have to pay that. So you cannot know for sure. You have to check. And, of course, you can go to irs.gov, type the word getting married, and then you can start figuring out if you're going to pay more or less based on your marriage or your children's marriage or your grandchildren's marriage. So it depends. There's no clear answer that if you get married, you get tax benefits, or if you don't, you do. See, you got to check it out. And that's InvestTalk Personal. If there's a topic you'd like to talk about, well, let me know. Just go to InvestTalk.com and click on the Contact Steve or Contact Justin button.
When you're an InvestTalk insider, you can watch replays of our many wealth webinars, the latest one on boosting your growth with oil stocks. This is not a premium extra cost thing. It's free. You can sign up right now on InvestTalk.com.
Hi, my name is Chris. I'm calling from West Palm Beach, Florida, and I listen to your podcast every day. My question is about how dividends are calculated. If I see that something's paying 2% or 3% or 4% of what? Is it of the money I put in, of some other value in the stock? I'm just not clear on 6% or 5% of what amount. Thanks a lot.
Okay, very good question, and probably a lot of people don't know the answer to that. It's a percentage of the current stock price. So if the stock price is $50 a share, and they say they're paying a 5% dividend, that's $2.50, because 5% of $50. Okay? That's what that means. It's always, when they give you a dividend yield in percentage, it's a percentage of the current stock price. And, of course, if the stock price gets cut in half, the yield would automatically double, wouldn't it? See, that's how that works. It's a very simple question, very simple answer. So whenever you see a company or in writing where the company pays certain percentage dividend, 2%, 2.3%, 3.4% dividend, when you hear me say, oh, that pays a 5% dividend, that's on the current stock price right now. Okay, I talked to someone, I think it was yesterday, the day before, I don't remember, and we were talking about this very same thing, about, well, how much, you know, if I bought a stock at $50 a share and it's paying 5%, and it went down, do I still get 5%? I said, yes, you'll still get 5%. If the stock got cut in half from 50 down to 25, you bought it at 50, you still get 5%. But the people who bought it at 25, they're going to have a 10% dividend yield. Now, will the company cut its yield or increase its yield, the dividend, or decrease? When a company reports dividends, they report it in how much per share they're going to pay. 10 cents, 25 cents, 50 cents per share. That's how they report it. How much dividend they're going to pay per share. But how analysts, and it's reported in any kind of review of the fundamentals of the company, it's reported in percentage of the current stock price. Very good question. People will say, well, that's a simple question. And then people are going to say, I didn't know that. That's great. It's really, you know, this is a learning experience throughout your life on this stocks. Invest in learning economics and how stocks move and what causes what to happen to who and how, what's the result. It's very complex and it gets more and more so. And that's what makes it interesting. Okay? So let's talk about first quarter earnings. So far, year over year, we always compare what last first quarter last year to this first quarter this year. You always compare year over year quarters. 397 of the 500 S&P 500 companies have reported. 500 S&P 500 companies, 379 have reported, or 79%. And the estimates were for the earnings to go down approximately 4.7% year over year. Down 4.7%. Do you know what they actually have of those 397 companies? Earnings are up 0.15%. Not up a lot, but very different from what the estimates were. Everybody was expecting. Remember how the GDP first quarter was pretty flat and it's probably going to be negative, and yet corporations still eked out a profit. Also, think about the S&P 500, the largest 500 companies. Their exports got crushed because the dollar went high. So what the heck? They've done very well. And the best performing industry for earnings were the utilities. Notice the utilities are here in the United States, no exposure to anything foreign, no dollar appreciation problems. Utilities earnings surprise up 4.9% quarter over quarter, last year's year over year quarter. They expected to be down 5% and it was up 5%. Pretty good. You got to be impressed with that. Surprisingly so. That means corporations manage their earnings very, very well, manage their sales and their profits very well. You got to give them credit. Okay? Now remember, I just told you how bad the imports and trade deficit was, right? I just talked about that. And here, earnings was really positive. I'm next going to go to the ISM number, Institute of Supply Management. Last week, we had the manufacturing reported. This week, we have non-manufacturing reporting. What do you think that number was? It's reported today. We're going to talk about it. We're coming up on the last segment of the program. Let's try to get your question if we can. 888-99-CHART is the number.
Part of the InvestTalk experience is visiting our website, investtalk.com. And one of the reasons for a visit is Steve's market commentary. Just go to investtalk.com and scroll down to his market commentary. Our podcast distribution is made possible each day by KPP Financial, Steve Peasley, President. And you should know about our next live webinar. This is a one-hour session about global investing. Steve and Justin see this as a solution to an overpriced domestic market if you do it right.
Join them for the discussion June 4th, 6:30 p.m. Pacific Time. There'll be plenty of time, too, for your questions. It's free, but you do need to sign up. You can do that now on investtalk.com.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Invest Talk. Please call with your questions and comments, though, 888-99-CHART, 888-99-CHART, and Steve will answer them on the next Invest Talk.
We're here live 4 to 5 Pacific Time each day, Monday through Friday, but we can talk to you anytime. Just leave a message or leave a question, 888-99-CHART, and then we'll try to answer it within 24 hours. Daniel called. Danielle, call from San Francisco.
I have a question on option expire. I always hear, like, saying people say option expire and the price will change or going dramatically up or down before that day or on the day. So I want to get it clear, like, you know, what is really option expire going to do with the stock or stock market. Please answer this on your next show. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, options are the right to sell or buy a stock at a certain price. Okay, let me rephrase that. Options give you the right to buy or sell a stock at a certain price, and that right costs you like 50 cents a share, and you got to buy 100 of them at 100 blocks. Okay, so when an option is limited in time, they give you that you can buy or sell that right, but I'm going to make this simple. 99% of all options expire the third Friday of every month, and then they do another option on the same, you know, doing the same thing, and the premium is what they charge for you to buy or sell that option. So the third Friday of the month, all options expire. So you have the right to sell that stock before the third Friday of every month. So what do you do? Well, you can exercise your option. You can buy it or sell it before the third Friday. Now, why would I do that? Well, let's say you have an option to buy a stock at 80. You get to buy the stock at 80, and it's selling for 85 right now. You buy it at 80, turn around, sell it immediately. You buy the stock. You have the option to buy it, and you can turn around, sell it for $85. You made $5 a share. And it only costs you 50 cents to have that right to buy it at 80. But let's say the whole month goes by and you have the right to buy it at 80 and the stock price didn't move. It was 80 the whole time. You would let your option expire because it was worth it. It's not worth buying it, you know, because it's not worth any more money. So you spent 50 cents a share or whatever the option premium was to do that, and it expired worthless and you lost your 50 cents a share. It's leverage, people. It's giving you the leverage to buy or sell something. I can make it much more complex than that, but I'm not going to, because then I will start losing everybody. But just remember, that's what it has the right to do, to buy or sell a stock at a certain price. And that option, that right, expires the third Friday. So what happens to the stock price when it gets close to the option? Everybody knows what the options are. Strike prices, they call them, strike prices are. So it tends to move the stock itself, the price of the underlying stock, because all the options are expired. Tends to do it. Doesn't always do it. It's not something you really can rely on, and that's really not something, but it tends to move the market a little bit, if nothing else is available to move the market. Does that help? I hope that helps. ISM number, Institute Supply Management, non-manufacturing. Remember, the manufacturing number came out last week, and this is for March, and the manufacturing number was 51.5%, and that was the exact same as the month before, 51.5%. So that means we had no growth, no improvement, but anything above 50 is expanding economy. So it is expanding the manufacturing. But today, the non-manufacturing, the service sector, which is a much bigger portion of our economy, by the way. And it was expected to come out at 56.5, and it was 56.5 last month. But it came out at 57.8. It was a surprise to the upside. We've never had with a manufacturing so low at 51.5 and services so high, 57.8. That difference is a pretty large difference between manufacturing and non-manufacturing. So this was really good news. So the market fell. Why the market fell? Well, because I told you earlier during the show that we had a huge, huge deficit. The deficit soared. Exports versus imports soared. Our U.S. trade deficit soared 43%. That was much more impactful. Interesting, huh? Before we close for the hour, why not join our free InvestTalk Insiders program? You'll have access to a library of info sheets, information sheets, all prepared by me and Justin. Annuities paper, wills and trusts, retirement programs, life insurance, all papers on these things. To sign up, just go to investtalk.com. It's free. It's free. I'm portfolio manager Steve Peasley, and for Justin Klein and everyone at KPP Financial, thank you for listening, and well, hope you'll join us again tomorrow on InvestTalk.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.